Malik.
I don't.
There is a Malik, but Barbara didn't want it. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm going to call into order this meeting of the Library Joint Powers Authority. Excuse us for starting a little past our normal time. We did begin with a closed session. There was no report out on the closed session. So we'll start our public meeting and we'll begin with a roll call. Okay.
Supervisor Peary,
here.
Citizen Gert,
here.
Citizen English. Council Member Byers?
Here.
Citizen Poitinger? Council Member Reed?
Here.
Council Member Terrazas?
Here.
Supervisor Stone?
Here.
Council Member Story?
Here. Next, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda for this evening.
I'll move approval.
Second. A motion is second to approve. Any discussions? Any members of the audience have a comment about the agenda? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move on to oral communications. These opportunities for members of the public to speak to the Joint Powers Board on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Yes?
Hi. I just wanted to tell you I could, at each of your places, a sample of all the summer reading materials. Summer reading started today and will proceed on through August 3rd. And what you have there is a list of the businesses that are participating, supporting us. You have a list of all the programs that are happening and a sample of the bookmark. I just wanted to call your attention to it. And we're off and running. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
My kids have signed up today.
It's great. You can earn dollars, I see.
You can earn dollars. Yes, you get up to 20.
Next, we'll move on to member reports. Board members have? Seeing none, let's move on then to the consent agenda.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
So, motion to approve, seconded by Director Peary. Is there any member of the public that would like to pull a consent item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll go on to the report of the Friends of the San Cruz Public Library.
That would be me.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Cindy Jackson. I'm from the La Selva Beach Friends. And just a few things to tell you about. One is the spring book sale, which we had Memorial Day weekend. Grossed about $10,000.
Nice.
We have a new vice president on our board who is Kevin Wallace, but we're still looking for a treasurer if you know anybody that might be interested. We have an annual retreat scheduled for July 14th at the Community Foundation in Aptos. And we are starting to do some collaborative events with other nonprofits like Shakespeare Santa Cruz, and the Friends of the Watsonville Public Libraries. And last but not least, we've hired Emily Husher, as a full-time office administrator, who's going to be a huge help for us. And then I have to say that we did have a fabulous event Saturday with the Today Show crew at the La Selva Beach with the Sandcastle Building Contest, including none other than Teresa and her husband. So,
nice.
Who, if we'd stuck around, probably would have won last place.
That's right. Had we been judging, yes, absolutely.
Did it already air? Did the episode air?
No. I'm sure that everything from La Selva will be on the cutting room floor, but July 17th. And the focus is really on the sandcastle sculptor. We'd like it to be on us, but it's, in this case. Hopefully they'll say something about library somewhere and we'll be happy.
Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Staff reports.
Teresa. Okay. Monthly narrative report. I just wanted to point out that last month you asked a question about what kinds of incidents we had down in the library system. And so I went ahead and at the end of this month's monthly report, I gave you a list of what the reports that had been, incident reports that had been filed. So that just gives you a sense of what happened. I did take
redacted some information with names in it, but that's it.
And I want to thank you for that. That was interesting to me.
I really didn't know what kind of things we were talking about, and that was helpful. And I can do it every month. It's easy enough to do because it's already, we have it in Excel.
Yeah, I think it is helpful because it sort of lets you know if there's patterns and sort of real what the areas of the biggest concern are. Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
I was going to comment. I think it was included in this report, but the outside-in project or the inside-out project for that photographs of the downtown branch, central branch. There was a Kickstarter campaign that started, I think, as of today. 65% of the project was funded.
Yes.
I mean, so I thought that was really nice to see that quick turnaround. And
I think you all got an email about it.
It was not.
Didn't the board? I thought it was.
Yeah, I sent an email to all the joint
and when it first started. Yeah, a week ago. Not sometime.
Within a week, that project is getting funded. 65%.
That's great.
And the friends are sending email blasts to all of their friends about it.
It's like, I don't want to lose today. Okay, anything else on the narrative? Okay. Statistical reports, the usual reports are here. I also. Linda's getting the lights. Linda's on light patrol. Jim knows how to do it, so he's ready to go. Also, we had a discussion. I think, Nancy, you requested this. So the CERC per borrower comparisons and CERC per visitor. So I did that for California libraries, and then I picked some national libraries. And I was asked why the Santa Cruz numbers are different in each chart, and that's because the years we pulled from were different. I had to pull from for California versus national because there's no apples and oranges. So that just gives you a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It gave
you
a sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions on it? Okay. The financial report, the April financials. Went over this at the Finance Committee meeting. I don't think there was anything unusual to report. Any questions? There. Moving right along. Approval of the 12-13 budget. Okay. I'm not going to go over this in detail. I'm just going to hit a couple of highlights. This past year, kind of the work plan and accomplishments. Obviously, the restructuring was a major effort that took a lot of staff time in a lot of areas and a lot of adjustment for staff. It's interesting because when I was doing this, the accomplishments and the challenges are both the same. The restructuring was also the biggest challenge I think we faced. The new ILS, also a major accomplishment, but also a major challenge. We've been working very hard to leverage technology, and that takes some effort, and we've really taxed our IT folks, but once again, we've made some strides in some areas, and we're still working on some others. I think that what we will continue to do with partnerships and grants, and I can't say enough about Janice and her role in this. She's absolutely fantastic. She writes a grant, we get it. And you know, from the Big Read to cooperating with the County Office of Education, we've got a lot of partners. We're really being seen as a good partner in the community, and it's really working really well. As we look forward to next year, the priorities I see are the facilities master plan is coming right up. We're going to need to continue to evaluate the service model and recommend improvements. That's going to be ongoing for the rest of our lives. And not just, no matter what service model you have, it's just part of continuous evaluation and improvement. So it's not really the service model anymore, it's who we are and what we do. So we need to be continually looking at what we're doing. We will be looking at upgrading and strategically utilizing technology, and I think the technology plan will help us with that. We are starting to catch up, and I think we'll make some really great strides, more great strides this coming year. I'm not going to talk about numbers, because I'm going to let Mark address the numbers.
Sure. So I'll start. I'll point you to page opportunity for fiscal year 12-13. And really, it gives you an order of magnitude of, and you know this, board members, you've seen this before, your money is sales tax, your money, your resources are property tax, the maintenance tax, whatever contribution. 97% of your resources are your property tax or sales tax. So that's the bulk of your revenue coming in. On the personnel side, spending side, 66% of your costs, shown in the chart on page 44, are personnel costs. So you know, those are your major, your big three here. Sales tax, 52%, property tax, maintenance of effort at 45%, for combined 97%. And then about 66 of your operating costs are personnel costs. So that's your inflows and your outflows. Flowing forward into the budget you're being presented, I'll go to page 48. There's a nice summary there of your budget for the current year and the future year. And there's a table that just shows expenditures for fiscal year 11-12 and revenues, which project out to be a net gain of $1.3 million for the current year we're in. So we're on pace to finish this current year. I'll put an asterisk, $1.3 million, asterisk, air quotes. There's $212,000 of that is rolling over in spending for next year. But still, had we spent the $212,000 this year, your net profit would have been about $1.1 million. But we took that $212,000 out of expenditure, so it reduces your expenditures artificially, and moves that money to next year. So when you end this year, you're on pace for near $1.3 million net profit. That's an incredible amount, and I think that was evident for the board to say what changes can be made in the system. So rolling forward into 12-13, those changes, of course, the board wanted to get to a 90% funding level of its goal. We saw costs increase by nearly 14% in our personnel category. Personnel costs went up 14%, and we knew that. The board knew that. Right? We're increasing hours. The demand is staffing. If you looked at just your operating costs, or supplies, or services, that actually went down a little bit, down about 2%. So your gains, your increase in your costs are really the personnel category, up by 14%. Your revenue, we have factored in. Interesting how numbers align up. So about an hour ago, the finance committee met and received input from the county of Santa Cruz on what the revenue projections were. And we're within distance of that. They projected a $5,968,000 sales tax, and we have $5,991,000. So we're about $30,000 ahead of their projection. Over a whole year, we're 99.6% in their category. So where this board was going is confirmed by where the latest estimates from the county are. And what the county did is they took their latest sales tax data, which is better than what they thought, and that new number now aligned with ours. So we're within distance. I would say the one thing I heard today, their property tax estimates were within 40,000. So again, we're right there on the same mark. But I think there is room for that to downgrade. And that's countywide, there'll be hits and misses throughout the whole county. Some communities might see a downgrade in property tax revenue for the coming year. Some communities might see flat or modest gains in property tax. But as a whole, I think the county's trying to be ultra conservative and say, if the numbers aren't out yet, they try to fine-tune everything by July. They should have it done by August the latest. So in August, we'll know countywide what the property tax numbers are, both countywide and jurisdiction level, which then we'll know how good these estimates are. So that's one of those check marks that we have to come back to the board just to see how close we are. If we're off by 1%, that's $100,000 loss in the category. So that's something that we'll have to pay attention to. We're still maintaining, so fund balance and reserves, so I'll talk about that kind of word. Again, our fund balance is healthy right now, $2.5 million in this year, is what we're projecting to have by the end of this year. Again, that can deviate up and down as all the costs are coming in, the final audit and everything. But that's a healthy projection, and far exceeds the $1 million target I think the board have. Rolling forward for next year, we're projecting at $366,000 gain next year. So we're gonna, if everything plays out the same, if our revenue projections are on target and our spending projections additional money going into our reserves next year. So that's a good thing, which would take up our reserves to 2.9 million. So that's kind of the big picture of the flow. Within there, I want to put another airflow aspect or what have you. At the Finance Committee level, there was a discussion about, there's two studies underway, Facilities Master Plan and an IT Master Plan, Strategic Plan, excuse me. There was a discussion at the Finance Committee level, if we're engaging in these studies, shouldn't there be a concept of, are we going to get these studies and put them on the proverbial shelf, or are we going to actually do something with these studies? So the Finance Committee had a discussion about that and targeted a placeholder of about $300,000 that would essentially draw down next year's reserve ending fund balance from 2.9 million to 2.6 million for one-time capital purposes. And from my perspective, from a finance perspective, I think that makes sense. You want to use reserves strategically, fund balance strategically, and using it for one-time purpose could make sense. So again, that's kind of a placeholder that would be resources available should these master plans and IT strategic plan be something the board wants to take action on next year. So that's a comment. As you probably know, your debt services, you're losing one of your debt service payments. That's a good thing. You'll have less debt and a few more loans. And then in 5 years, you'll have no official debt, which would certainly in 5 years give you capacity, or a point in time as the economy starts recovering, capacity should the board ever want to take on new debt for banks. I don't know that the bond markets or anything are really ready for municipal government debt. They're still very tentative about that, but that's something that there could be some capacity in the future. So that kind of summarizes where we're flowing to. On page 49, there's certainly more detail by line item. I won't necessarily go through it, but it breaks down all those revenue numbers I was just talking about by the individual sources, the operating costs by your categories, information technology, library materials, staff development. So there's certainly more detail on page 49. I mentioned some follow-up items. There was also discussion at the Finance Committee level about there's going to be things we have to come back to the board and the Finance Committee for. The first and foremost is CalPERS. So as we've talked about before, in 2 years, fiscal year 13, 14, July 2013, not too far away, our library board's retirement costs are going to go up. We'll know by the end of this year, meaning October, November, exactly what that number is. We're ballparking. It could reach $120,000. I'm honestly not sure if that's conservative or optimistic. We'll know when the actuarial release their information in October. So I have a real hard time saying it's going to be that number, but our best educated guess right now that's the number that appears to be in play, $120,000 increase per year forevermore. That starts 13-14. The third asterisk, of course, when you're dealing with the state, everything tweaks a little bit. In 13-14, that first year, the state will only charge us one-third of that cost. So if it's $120,000, this board will see an increase of $40,000 in that first year. There's $80,000 left that we owe the state, and the state will graciously fund that to us over 19 years at an interest rate of 7.5%. Very graciously. You'll end up paying $7,000 interest at the end of that time period, which is almost equal to what you're borrowing. Again, very gracious of them to offer that, to tell us that's what they're doing. Whether we'll have the ability to pay that down at our own leisure, that's still to be determined. So both of those issues are things we want to revisit, both when the rates come in officially, and then to see what options this board may want to consider of just paying that down. That's not a sound debt to have on board. And again, just a big picture, that $120,000 is forevermore. You're going to see that in the second year, you're going to pay $120,000 increase, plus your about $8,000 in your debt service for that prior year. So you'll see close to about $130,000 every year thereafter. And these are kind of ballpark numbers, and we'll fine tune that. And we'll want to fine tune that when the numbers, when the state releases their final estimates in October. Typically it's October. In the last couple of years, they push it out to November because they two other follow-up items. We don't need to get too much discussion now, but the RDA property tax distribution issue. We'll just want to stay tuned in to what's happening there or not. Right now, it's not an issue for this board. Right now, the direction the county's made leaves the funding source for the county's portion intact, so there's no change at this board level. We'll just want to stay up to date with whatever the latest court cases that might surface out there are. And we'll also might want to start talking about building up a contingency reserve, targeting a carve-out of our fund balance for the what-if, worst-case scenario, the method changes, and we owe money back. So that's a discussion we'll want to have probably around mid-year as we start seeing what type of court cases are out there. The county audit controller, who I have a ton of respect for, I think our read on it is correct. As soon as this hits the court, it'll direct this state Supreme Court. And how long before there's an issue? Could be a year, could be 2 years. But can't imagine it would take longer than 2 years to finally get a final decision. And the third one that we weren't in court on, something I've already mentioned about funding for facilities master plan and IT strategic plan. Those are all things that we'll want to evaluate in the course of the next year. That wraps up my summary. I want to make sure I talk to you.
Questions from board members?
Utilities, we have that everything's wrapped together now, you know, all the different branches. And we used to be able to sort of see that broken out by branches, which is kind of interesting to see where we need to improve on our, on our utility costs. I mean, they're huge. Anyway, I'd be interested in seeing that at some point. We used to see that. And I guess that'll be part of the facilities master plan analysis too. So I could wait till then, but I'm just saying it's.
We have a spreadsheet that shows all the costs.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see it. And under the IT, what percentage of that is being contracted out right now? And are we going to continue to contract out our IT?
I can't answer the percentage. I would have to go back and calculate that.
Okay.
We are short. We're still short the network administrator manager position, so we are contracting out for quite a bit of assistance related to the network. We just don't have the expertise on staff.
Is the idea to eventually hire a person or just to move to
waiting for the IT strategic plan to give us direction?
I see. Okay.
That's what we've been holding off, because we want to see what is it recommend. Someone who knows what they're doing looks at our IT department and says, this is your hole, this is what you need to fill. With a hired person, this you can fill really well with contract. We try to contract for those things that, particularly that aren't ongoing, but they're kind of, you need that one-time expertise to get done, and then you don't really need that level of expertise on board all the time. So that's when we look at what we contract. We've always contracted out some, and that was for that kind of thing. And so that's the philosophy in looking at it. But we'll be asking, that's what we want an IT professional to really look at the department and tell us. We've got an opportunity here. What's the best way to deal with it?
David, do you have a
question? Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to move the board approval of the attached budget, including the staffing resolution, and then just comment. I feel like from last year to today, this has been like a tremendous turnaround in terms of the finances and the organizational change. I know staff really kind of had to modify the way they do business, but looking at the statistics in terms of the circulation and the usage of the branches, and now this approval in terms of investing in our library facilities as well as technology, I think is really a tremendous turnaround. I think it really says a lot about the library and also the staff that's really been along for this and really investing in their work to make our services as best as they can be.
Thank you. There's a motion to approve the staff recommendation, and then a second by Director Beery.
Ellen, David,
yeah.
Second.
Thank you. Yeah, I have still a couple budget questions, and maybe you said this in the beginning of your remarks, Mark. Did we increase the book budget?
Yes.
Like how much?
It's the formula 7.5% of revenue. So revenues minus who is described in here. It's minus debt service and some other things.
7.5%.
So, since revenues are up, then we update both budget materials budget accordingly.
Anil has that for me. Is that really great? Is it more material, or is it?
It's
so-so.
20,000.
Yeah.
It's much better than it's been.
Yes, I.
So, there are other libraries that have spent a greater percentage on their materials, and it would be nice if we could, but we haven't. Right now, we haven't been able to. But it's still holding steady where we used to be.
Is an industry standard around 12%?
A lot of libraries are 12%.
We're projecting a 300-some balance next year. I understand we don't want to spend down to zero, but I just need your thinking on that, why we wouldn't put more money in the book budget when we realize it's been difficult so many years and we're so suffering from that.
I was just following the formula that had been agreed on through the task force. Certainly, if you want to spend more on the materials budget.
So the task, the way back task force?
Uh-huh.
I think it was
that
six.
Was one of the parameters was that
was
we would go for 7.5.
I think it was about 6.5% is what we looked at. So it's an increase.
7.5, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we, yeah. So, I mean, what I would recommend is that when we take a look mid-year at how everything's doing, a lot of the questions that Mark brought up.
Let's make a note of
that.
Let's
see where we are.
Think if,
and,
we're really suffering in our materials budget. Rather than end up with so much of an end, you know, meet the needs of the community.
Okay. I'll mark it mid-year.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
The second one, Mark, you said 66% of in personnel.
Yeah.
Is that, that strikes me as low.
That's really good.
It is good, but is it? Isn't it always a lot higher?
That was our goal, was to get it down. That was in the task force. In fact,
well,
one of the models was
I understand that, but I'm just raising the issue. Are we down too much in personnel that we're not
struggling?
No, I know we did. I know.
I think the 66% is 11-12, if I'm not mistaken. I think 12-13 does bring it up a little bit.
I'm not so interested in bringing it up. I just want to be sure we're meeting
67%, so. That's where we wanted to be when we were on the task force. That was kind of the range we were
right.
trying to shoot for, was because we were over 70.
Yes.
So we were shooting for somewhere, you know, the real, remember the 65% model? There was a 65% model, and the others were somewhere at around 67, 68, and that's right where we are.
Okay.
So it's really good. For California, that's really good. The rest of the country, a lot lower.
No,
but for us, I mean, that's really good. I mean, it shows that we achieved the structural savings we wanted to achieve.
You know, on the collection item, it might be interesting to see, you did this little analysis of, I think you pulled those from the California Library Statistics, just to see what other libraries sort of our size spend on their budget, just to see where we fall. And, you know, I'd be interested to see that.
I can do that.
Any other questions?
And just one thing, just to know that that's going to be, the data is going back.
Yeah.
And that's during the depths of stuff.
Oh,
so.
That's true.
So we just have to factor that in when it's recognized.
Right.
But
we were down there, too.
Yes, we were down there, too.
That's true. It's nice that we're using the past tense.
Mark, I wanted to ask, you made a comment about maybe later in the year we should look at reserving for any RDA clawback. Where do you see us finding the resources to do that?
What I'm specifically talking about is if next year is on pace and let's roll the clock forward a year and we're having this discussion again, we're talking about $2.6 million ending fund balance next year. I think it's wise to start carving a chunk of that out and say, this is sacred until we know.
Out of the 13-14 budget.
Well, I'm just saying to carve out that ending balance. So, you know, in the old days, you would have taken that cash and put it in a box and buried it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is take out of that $2.6 million, maybe you take $600,000 of that for year one.
Okay.
And you just set that
Thank you.
Just on the RDA issue, is it appropriate for this board to write a letter to the various people involved? I know it's Cabrillo and the city council. I mean, we have a big stake in keeping it the way it is. So I know there's some conflict of interest, too. But on the other hand, why wouldn't we lobby for our system? It seems...
Yeah. You know, we had some discussions at the Finance Committee about that, and I think Teresa and I had discussed whether we should even put it on tonight's agenda. And I guess we felt that, that you know, because it is a divisive issue, and because of the, I guess, mixed makeup of this body, that we would put the board members in a conflict of interest in having a discussion and action on that. But now, with all that said, if there are board members here that would like to see that issue brought for discussion and for our weighing in on the opinion at a future date, I think that would be certainly appropriate. Is there such a desire?
Well, I have
a
comment, but I'll...
Yes.
Okay. I hear one no, I hear one yes. Jim, go ahead.
It would seem to me if we think this is something that's going to be decided in a political body, then us taking a stand or getting involved, sending a letter would be completely appropriate. But from what, no one has a crystal ball at the same time. I think virtually everybody expects this to be decided by the courts. And I don't know what the point is to try and lobby a court. I would say I don't see how it would really be productive, since this is almost certainly going to be a legal issue.
Okay, so maybe we'll follow the issue as it develops, and if we're seeing it some of appropriate future meeting. And I would like, if there was a desire by the majority of the board to bring it forward, that we would do it then. But I'm not feeling the vibe right now, Nancy. Sorry. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, the vibe may change.
Keep going, Sam.
So we have a motion and a second on the table to approve the 12-13 budget with the resolution approving the staffing augmentations. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. That was exactly where I was going next. And so, but I wanted to see if there's any members of the public that would like to make comment on the motion. Yes.
Just a statement about the question about the book budget. There is a noticeable difference in the number of new materials that are available currently from a year ago.
Better?
Oh, way better.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Lots more new things, and in the packet there was a comment from a patron at Live Oak about the audiobooks, just, you know, saying that they really like the selection and use them frequently. So I think that's working really well, that part.
Good. Any other comments? That I'll call for the motion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move on to item 7E, which is discussion resolution regarding land donation for Felton Library. This is page 52 in the agenda packet. Teresa, you want
to
lead us on that?
I'll just do a quick introduction to this, and then I'll turn it over to you all. The county basically is asking the library to pay the costs associated with the preliminary studies, application fees, everything else that needs to be done in order to subdivide the Verruti property that they want to donate to the county, so that a portion of that property can be donated to the county for the purpose of a new library within the next 10 years. The report, I tried to synthesize information I got from Mark, that I got from Teal, talked to John Barisoni in terms of position and MOUs and all that stuff. So the report details known costs, Some of the areas where costs are still not known, the conditions that are imposed by the Verrutis, other issues that need to be considered that most likely will result in a three-way MOU. I've included Mark's letter to the Board of Supervisors on May 22nd or 23rd, whatever that was, and Teal Messer's proposal for what he's outlined. Teal's here if you have questions. And so basically, I'm looking for direction from the board on how to proceed, and if you want to allocate the additional money for the Wayland, then we'll need a resolution to that effect. So that's it in a nutshell. If I messed anything up, you know.
Yeah. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's where it is. We're really at a point where we can get the property to the point to get some entitlements done, where we can get most of the questions settled and then allow us to move forward once we figure out financing for the new branch. But the most important hurdle right now is to get the lot split done so that we can put the property in the hands of the county and finish out essentially this part of the entire process. So it's going to take a little bit more money out of the Wayland Trust. We looked originally at the $20,000 for the EIR. And then in talking with county planning, there's a number of other reports that are going to be done based on the potential use for this in order to do the lot split and the rezoning. The town plan, the felt town plan needs to be amended as well as the county's general plan in order to do this. So this should be a package that completes that transaction for us and then gets us ready for next steps once we get there.
Questions?
Jim?
I had a question for Teresa. When we, in April, when we appropriated $20,000, I think, to start this process, it said that we were going to be sharing these costs with the county. And now it seems like there's not sharing, that just we're paying the cost. Or is that unfair? Can you comment on if there's been a change, and if so, why?
My understanding from my earlier conversations with Mark back for April, I guess, when we passed that, was that there was going to be cost sharing. I'm not sure if that was in kind on the county's part. I don't know. I don't really know. But
yeah, I mean, to the extent that it'll be, and I'm not exactly clear what that is, but it's staff time that the county is putting into it. So we're paying for the reports for Teal's time, and the $20,000 was to do the EIR part of it, and the rest of staff's time to process, I think, of what the county's talking about putting in. But I'm not real clear on what that is in this.
Does anyone know if the county's making any financial contribution to this $47,000 that we're having to pay?
No, not to this.
So it's just, it's all...
This is money we're asking out of the way of the trust.
Right, right.
Which will then be able to put the package to, well, get us to the point of applying with the county through Teal and the Verrutis. It would be a joint application to move forward.
And then, I have just one other question. I'm sorry. Has our attorney, the library board's attorney, looked over this proposed expenditure and any issues? I'm not familiar with the Wayland Trust and any provisions on how the money can be used. Does it pass muster with him?
I showed him the proposal from Teal and and got comment from him on the MOU portions. I wasn't really sure what the library's standing was in this, since it's the county that's going to own it and all that. And he reviewed an initial draft of the staff report and didn't find any legal issues with it. I did get a request today to look into the wording on the Wayland Trust is that it's to be used for capital improvements for books. And so I do have a question in to the city attorney on would this work count as capital improvements? And his answer this morning was, he's actually not sure, because I hand delivered a copy of the Wayland Trust and all the legal documents, and he was going to get a hold of the attorneys that drafted it to make sure that capital improvements, when we're not actually building it yet, whether this qualify as a legal use of the trust. And he has not gotten back to me today, so I'm assuming he didn't get a hold of the other attorney. So I guess that question is still out there. I'm sorry it didn't occur to any of us before that, just to make sure, you know, just to dot the I and cross the T on that one. So
Well, when the attorney called me
with the way of the trust, I went over the possibilities of what we might be using it for. So I think Ferrisoni's going to talk to him. And with my conversations, I don't think they have a problem with it.
Okay. I didn't know you'd had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the time that the grant was made.
But you said you talked to him today and he's not
I
sure if this
today,
is a legal
he
use.
He said it's because we're, if we had the money to build and we were doing this, you know, as just part of that process, I don't think there'd be any question. But the fact that there's no plans, imminent plans to build, he just wants to make double sure before that it meets the terms of the trust. So if you've already had a conversation with him, there's probably no problem.
Yeah, I'm happy to follow up.
But yeah, so John Ferrisoni is following up for me. So I'm assuming he just didn't get a hold of the attorney today. And I, like I said, I apologize, it didn't come up until this morning. So.
Well, I've been operating on the assumption that it's been fine based on my discussion with the attorney for the trust for the estate.
I had a similar question, but mine was regarding the actual trust in terms of whether or not there was any sort of policy guidance from the board as far as the percentages that we'd be using for these entitlements as opposed to books. I mean, when you look at the expenses that are listed for maybe future analysis and environmental work, this number could escalate much higher. We're already talking a third of the trust funds. So I was just wondering if we've established any sort of guidelines in this area. No? So do we want to... Are we looking at potentially allocating the full amount towards the development or potential construction of the Felton branch? If that's the policy guideline we're using the funds, I just wanted to put that out there because it seems like this is kind of not capped in any way. It's just we're getting into something where it looks like the library district is solely responsible for managing this process. So.
Yeah, we'll find it at that point. I mean, that's certainly up to the board. I think, my understanding with the numbers that are presented here is that amount of money that we were asking for, the 20,000 plus this additional should get us through the planning stages that we're asking for.
Okay.
So I don't know if there'd be any additional expenditures.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. The other two questions were asked, but, one was, the last board meeting we talked about a kind of partnership, and now this looks like it's solely the library board. And I just wondered, from what I understand, when construction of libraries take place, is it usually the board that manages that or the jurisdiction when there's been either future developments? Is it normally the library board that's this closely involved with the actual development and construction, or is there another model that's been used in the past?
The RDA model.
Yeah, the RDA model, or I mean, I don't know. That's Scotts Valley was RDA, but that was done by the city RDA, and then it turned over to the.
Right.
So this is something that's
unique. We did the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
That was not RDA.
No.
And that was the most recent.
Okay.
And we also did Garfield Park, which took out almost $1 million loan to redo that. This library system did.
Okay.
So those are the two most recent.
Okay. David, you.
Thanks. I had a question about the MOU, whether the expectation is that the board would approve the MOU before it was signed.
You could.
Or MOUs.
I mean, you often delegate that to me to work with the city attorney, but if you wanted to see it, certainly there's no reason why you shouldn't.
I would. I've sort of had ongoing unhappiness with the leases that have been negotiated, that kind of stuff. So this is sort of similar to that. I think it would be good for the board to get a look at the MOU before before it's done.
That's fine. Just as a point of clarification, I'm not clear that the library will be a party per se. Certainly, we have a party in interest in this, and both their interest, which is why this direction is appropriate, that the library director work with the parties. But the MOU is really originally designed to lay out the expectations as between the county and the Rudys.
I thought this was going to be a three-way MOU.
We're not sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Well, only if it involves libraries being involved in the MOU would I want to come back.
Well, absolutely. But even still, I think this board needs to be apprised of the MOU, the relationship, sort of what the expectations are that are coming out of it, because those terms certainly matter to the library. But what the exact relationship is, we're not entirely sure, because our board action was really
some, like, easements in order to go on and do some of these studies, we need permission from the Veruni, so that's either going to require some sort of notification from the Veruni that it's okay, or the city attorney said we might need an easement that he would draw up. So there may be some little side agreements in order to get these studies done, but then the final agreement, it kind of depends on where things end up. So.
Yeah, and I have not anticipated it should be fairly simple document. No more than 67 pages.
I guess I just had a question about it, but if this board is going to be the funder of the project, it seems like we would need to be a party to the agreement. Because some of the language, the way it's written in here, it says that the planning department will process the application, but it could require additional deposits depending on the actual costs associated with the project and environmental review and public hearings. So it sounds like it would come back to us if that were the case.
Yeah, and I'm not anticipating any additional. This should be enough to cover it, but that's the kind of language we're getting out, which we're, in my original draft of the letter to the board, it did in fact contemplate a three-way MOU, but in discussions, it didn't seem like that was quite necessary, but I think we need to flesh that out, especially with respect to those obligations. And these are sort of the initial wish list for the parties in the relationship, and we still need to work out whatever differences they are. But the expectation is that the library, through the way of the trust, would fund these particular steps that are listed out there to get all of the environmental done to get us the board out after the lot split in the event. That's the goal at this point. And then that's also an initial level of entitlements so that we could do infrastructure and take those first steps should we get the money put out.
Okay. Other questions?
Yeah, just on that, other than authorizing the expenditures from the trust, what's the library's role, the board's role in this process?
Well, that's at this point, that's really
that's it.
What we're asking for.
And so what is, and you think, like, what would be the amount that would be spent for this environmental work? Just like a cap, if we were to look at, you said other?
Yeah, well, that's what the numbers are listed in the, I think the whole thing, and there's, the whole thing is 47.5.
Cool.
I mean, I don't see it. Actually, I don't even think it's going to be that much.
The library will be entering into a contract with Teal.
Right.
So I mean, the library does have that involvement of
and Teal's kind of a program manager through this process.
And then there's at least one where the library will need to directly, the geotechnical, is that it? Where the library will need to directly contract with one of the contractors to do the geotechnical study. So he's identified who it is. It's $500, so it's a PO. It's easy to do, but it's that will be the library. We'll be managing the contract. There will be a city contract. And the library uses the city forms for contracts.
With that, too, can I ask you about these studies? Will they be ordered in such a way that we know as soon as possible and as less costly as possible if it's an infeasible parcel?
Yes.
Okay. That's
right. And if I may, Sam, these are redos of previously done work, with the exception of the archaeology. And we have a geotechnical study.
Oh, we do.
We have a biotic study. We have a floodplain study and so on, but the county doesn't accept work that's more than 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
We're having like the $500 is basically for the geotechnical people to look at it and to add whatever the latest code requirements are. You know, if there's some new things on seismic tracing and so on. So other than the archaeology, it's all we have this. In fact, the board owns the access to those. I don't have to, the Rudy's just pay for you all did it right back. And we're updating something that you have the rights to.
Okay.
So
those previous studies support ultimate feasibility of this parcel for the
make sure
future library.
And the only thing, I mean, this is the most complicated project I've ever seen in terms of the site requirements, with the exception of there's no Indian problems and no Native American problems there. So we're getting
maybe
the archaeologist outside.
You know of yet.
Yeah, the archaeologist, maybe, he can turn something up to make it the most complicated.
And we've had discussions with planning
time players. Because if something goes, it just doesn't work, you know, just doesn't, something doesn't happen, I mean, you know, there's always a certain amount of risk involved. So you should be directly involved in how that's worked out. That's my advice, and I'm not sure how it looks in a typical project. Whoever's writing the check should have control.
Good point.
Okay, Jim?
To your point that we're the ones that are taking the risk, I'm not familiar. What is it that makes this one of the most complicated projects you've ever seen?
Well, it has floodplain problems. It has the water level. You know, the water level is 2 feet below the surface. We have offsite septic disposal. We're putting a septic system on the site, but we're putting the disposal field around the corner and down the street. We have biotic problems. We have this lot split thing where we're splitting the lot into two, and the other parcel is right now inaccessible and can't have a septic field. We don't have enough room for on-site parking. We have riparian questions about where the trees are, you know, are encroaching into the site. And we're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. Right now, if the Broodies get their access to an extension of an unused public road that's on the north side and move the neighbor who has an RV there parked, and they've had somebody living there for years, and moves them off and gets their access into there, then we won't have to go across the culvert, across the creek, where we had to get state fish and game involved, which is a 2-year process.
It
was an honest question.
So there's, to your point about the risk that we're ultimately undertaking because we pay for it, is there a chance after these studies are done that the studies could come to the conclusion, you know what, this really isn't the best place? There's just so many problems here that just isn't workable. Is that we're accepting that that's an option. Is that a fair statement?
That's always an option.
Okay, and it sounds like it's more of an option here than in most cases because of the issues that you've just outlined.
No, it's not because we already have the reports. Huh. You know, we've seen all the reports with the exception of archaeology. We have the reports. They're all clean. There's no problems. You know, I guess the other thing that could happen would be some subterranean water contamination or something along that line. I guess that's all. We don't have a phase one environmental complete for the site, but the County Office of Education did something very, very similar to it, and I looked through it and didn't see any problems, but that's not really my area to review those things. There wasn't a very gas tank that it was leaking or something on the site. They didn't find any evidence of that sort of thing, which is what those phase one environmentals do. But I guess that's an outside possibility, but it's pretty slight.
If I understand you correctly, what you're saying is the site has all these problems, but should it come to building on it, they are all mitigated somehow?
Yes, ma'am. That's what these reports do.
Does that mean like the design phase or whatever? There might be things in the design that are more costly because of what we have to do, or have to be concessions on the design or whatever in order to mitigate whatever these things are. I mean, the implications down the road or what?
Well, other than the off-site septic, which is just unusual, when you're building, you're putting a septic field in the public street. It's not going to cost you anything. It's a nice site. It has a nice, you know, the length of the building faces south. Good place for solar panels. Views are towards the creek. I mean, it's going to be an easy site to build. And plus, since you don't have enough room for parking on the site, you won't have a lot of money in parking space.
So what happens if there's not enough parking? Don't you have to have a certain amount of parking?
We're going to allocate street parking.
Yeah.
Allocate street parking.
So have that worked out.
There's a solution for each of the issues that Keel's brought up.
That was my question.
We have a solution for it, I mean, including even the access to the remainder parcel.
Right.
It's the water district behind it, and they're willing to give an easement for access. Okay. We've worked through the previously identified stumbling blocks.
The only catch might be that some of the solutions we've worked out, like with the offsite septic and the parking, are with specific staff members. We have to move ahead with this before they retire.
Serious.
We don't have it in writing.
No, you don't get those kind of things in writing.
Well, that's what a lot of this process will settle for.
Okay, any other questions? questions or discussions? Yes,
I think I was going to move approval, but I do have some concerns about the MOU and whether we ought to be involved in that. And I guess I would like to make as part of my motion a request that Teresa consult with our attorney about whether the library really needs to be a party to the MOU.
We want to make sure that everybody's connected to this as needs.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So, motion by Director Peary, seconded by Director Stone.
Thank you.
So, yes, discussion on the motion now?
Yeah, I'd like to just have some additional discussion on the total amount of the Whalen Trust as far as how much we're going to allocate for this purpose, whether or not we kind of have it returned back at a certain point just to identify how much we'll invest in this type of work. Is 47,500, is that enough to get the entitlements? And do you see any end point that we would stop at just using the funds for the entitlement process?
No, I think that should be an adequate amount. The only thing we don't have a hard proposal, I don't have a hard proposal then, is on the traffic analysis. We have to have a traffic study done, but there's an amount in there.
It's
$5,000 for that. Yeah, we have $5,000, and we don't have a proposal in that exact amount.
But it would sort of automatically come back to the board.
My contract will be for the numbers that are listed in the numbers.
Okay.
And I have proposals on it at the moment. I'll make the second one. I wouldn't dare charge you.
We know where you live.
Any further discussion by board members? Yes, Jim.
Maybe this is one for Mark, and I'm guessing this is one of the things that will be worked out as we look to get an agreement drafted, but this last point on page 54, the top set of bullets where it says the Rudy family has also stated that they want assurances this property will only ever be used as a library and the construction will start in 10 years. How they want that assurance, who's going to give it, that's going to be worked out once we make this happen and the parties start talking, there's legal agreements and so forth, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing we'll come back. Recognize, too, this has been a discussion for the last 10 plus years with Rudy since they made the grant. They're a little skeptical.
Right.
I think that if I've taken this action and this year getting the lot split done, really moving this forward, takes a lot of that skepticism away. But they're afraid that they'll turn it over. Nothing's going to happen, and then what? Then they're going to want it back, and they can do something else.
Right.
They want a library. End of story. So if we were moving forward on a library, ultimately they're happy.
Okay. So there's nobody who thinks that by us approving this, we're making any part of this assurance, right? This is just something they want to get eventually, and by us approving this additional money, we're not making that assurance. Or does anybody disagree?
It's something this board's going to work towards.
I mean,
but we're not making that assurance now.
We can't assure anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
So this might be a commitment that we're making to start construction in 10 years by approving this $27,000?
We might be involved in that.
We're not making that commitment.
We're not making
that
commitment.
But it's the understanding that is what...
That's what will be worked out.
That's what, yeah.
Right.
This board's going.
Yeah, but this board is not...
By this action...
policy saying we're going to start construction
exactly.
in 10 years. We'd love to start construction.
Right.
But, yeah, we can't really bind the board at that level.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Is any member of the public that would like to comment on the motion that's on the floor, which is to approve the staff recommendation? Okay. Seeing none?
With the addition.
Yeah, with the addition to direct Teresa to talk to the city of our attorney about being a party to the MOU. I think that it means that...
I mean, expect... get a report back in the next meeting or something about it.
Right, and that...
Because it should be...
And assume that means that if we are a party to the MOU, that MOU will come back before she executes it on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So understood. I'll call for the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion passes unanimously. So, which brings us to item 8, which is written communications. Are there comments from board members or any members of the public on the written communications? Seeing none, we'll go to the board member calendar. The next one, noticing that the August meeting is canceled, but the next scheduled meeting is Monday, July 9th, 2012, which is...
Yeah, and it's not July 2nd, which is the first Monday of the month, because it's too close to July 4th.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
So with that, we'll adjourn this meeting of the Library Joint Powers Authority to our next regular scheduled meeting on Monday, July 9th, 6:30 at the Central, at the Community Room at the Central Downtown Library Branch. Good evening, everyone, and thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Sam.